Welcome to Capital Baptist Church, and welcome to our brand new teaching series entitled Available, the People God Uses. Please take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Exodus, which is the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus. And today we're going to be looking here in chapter number 2 as we talk about parents God uses, parents God uses. I'm so glad you're here today for our opening session of this brand new teaching series called Available. And in this series, we're going to be learning a major thing, and that is the importance of availability and how that God uses people that are available to Him. Because indeed, the greatest ability is availability. The greatest ability is availability. Now, why do I say that? I've been saying that, you know, all my ministry, because as a pastor and as a spiritual leader, I've observed the fact that really it doesn't matter what abilities you have. If you don't make them available to God and for His use, it really doesn't matter. I mean, you might be the best singer in our church. You might could have gotten up on this stage today and you could have just blasted out or done whatever. You might be able to play an instrument really, really well. But the difference between these folks and you is they have the greatest ability, and that is availability. It's not until we make ourselves available to God that He can use us. And I just really want to challenge you as we go through this series, just to examine your heart and to pray that God would make you more available to Him. Now, as we think about this, our theme verse is going to be 2 Chronicles 16:9. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards Him." I love this verse. It tells us about the nature of God and how that God is on a search, that God is searching the earth. His eyes are roaming to and fro. His eyes are roaming all over this earth today. And He's looking at our hearts. He's looking at our lives. He's looking at our availability. And the Bible says that God is looking for people whose hearts are perfect towards Him, hearts that are totally available towards Him. And God's Word says that He will take those kinds of people and show Himself strong through them. Will you make yourself available to God so that God can use you in a mighty, mighty way? Today we're going to talk about specifically parents God uses. We're going to be looking today at the parents of Moses. Next week we're going to talk about teens God uses. And we're going to be looking at Timothy, the life of Timothy. And then the following week in this series, we're going to talk about children God uses. And on that day, we're going to be looking at the little boy who gave up his lunch so that Jesus could feed the 5,000. He was available to God. He was willing to sacrifice his lunch that this miracle could take place. And then we're going to look at adults that God uses. In that message, we're going to be looking at Barnabas. What a great man of God. What an encourager. His nickname was actually that of the son of encouragement. He was such an encouraging individual. Then we're going to look at couples that God uses. And we're going to look at Aquila and Priscilla. And Paul described that couple this way: they laid down their neck for me. They laid down their neck for me. What an incredible couple who made themselves available to God and to the Apostle Paul to do great and mighty things. And then, speaking of the Apostle Paul, in the last message, we're going to talk about singles God uses. And we are going to look at the life of Paul in that message. Now, there's 2,930 different Bible characters. So we had almost 3,000 names to choose from. And so I'll be honest with you, it's taken about 3 months to figure out which ones to use for this series. And so I'm really excited about these individuals, and I really think they're going to depict very, very well what we're trying to communicate in this teaching series. I'm also excited because it's been a long, long time since I've done a character study, a Bible character study. So I'm really pumped up about this series and looking at these different individuals. Now today we're going to be looking at the parents of Moses. And I'll be honest with you, it was only just a few weeks ago, if you would have asked me to name the parents of Moses, to give you their names, I frankly couldn't do it. I mean, I would have been sitting there going, I must have slept in that day in seminary, whatever. I couldn't have done it. So basically, I've gone from basically zero knowledge about them to more than we can even talk about in the time we have allotted today. They are one impressive set of parents. And God used them in a tremendous way. Let's begin today by reading Exodus 2, 1 through 10. Exodus 2, 1 through 10. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that was a goodly child or a healthy child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of the bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Now, what indeed was the names of these parents? Okay, first of all, we got the father. Moses' father's name was Amram. His mother was named Jochebed. Now, in this passage, the weight of information is focused on the mother. But if you'll read the total biblical record of this couple, the Bible is very clear that they were a partnering team, that they were a tremendous set of parents. Later on, in just a couple minutes here, we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to see that both mom and dad are mentioned in the Hall of Fame of Faith. So we need to recognize that this was a team effort. But this passage in particular, because of the set of circumstances involved, focus specifically on Moses' mother, Jochebed. Now, in Numbers 26:59, we see a very interesting statement made about them. It says, "In the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, whom her mother bare to Levi in Egypt. And she bare unto Amram," now listen to this, "Aaron, Moses, and Miriam, their sister." Now, this is really important to understand. This ought to cause every parent here today to be extremely interested in these parents and the way they parented. Because what we see here is that they not only were used of God to raise up a tremendous son named Moses, but God also used them to raise up another great son named Aaron, who became the first high priest of Israel, and also a tremendous daughter named Miriam, who God used in a great way. And there's several passages about her. One of those tells about how God used her in a mighty way when the children of Israel came out of bondage. So we're talking about parents here that God used to raise three dynamic kids who did great and mighty things for God. And that should cause us to say, what was it about these parents? I know in my own life, my parents had two sons. There's just two of us. And both of us are pastors. Both of us are pastors. My brother pastors Calvary Baptist Church in Denton, Maryland, which is on the eastern shore of Maryland. And he's been there his whole pastoral career. And I've been here my whole pastoral career. And so two boys, both of us, pastors. And my parents have been asked literally hundreds of times, what in the world did you do to raise up two tremendously handsome, tremendously powerful, tremendously articulate, tremendously gifted, tremendously godly sons? I mean, they get asked those questions all the time, okay? With all the joking aside, they get asked, hey, what in the world did you do? I mean, you know, what in the world did you do? Because, you know, when you see that kind of thing happen, and by the way, being a, you know, as long as you're in the God's will, what I do is no more important than what you do. Just so you're in God's will. If you cut grass for a living, go for it. If you work at McDonald's, go for it. If you are an engineer, doctor, lawyer, you know, whatever you do in life, what I do is no more significant than what you do as long as we're both in the will of God, okay? But people do sometimes look at pastors as something kind of special or whatever. The same thing holds true here. You got to look and say, okay, what did these parents do to raise these incredibly godly kids that God used in a great way? So let's go to page 2 of our notes and let's try to answer that question. Let's talk about parents God uses, because any of us that are parents, at whatever stage of parenting, we desire for God to use us in a great way. And as God's eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth, I pray and I hope that God can look on this situation of my wife and I, Debbie and I, and say, you know what, those are some parents there that I can show myself strong through. Those are some parents that I can use in a mighty way. Now, before we dig into this text, I want to highlight Hebrews chapter 11, because it's important to realize that these parents were mentioned in what's called the Hall of Fame of Faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is a listing of men and women of God who had such incredible faith that they are listed as a select group of people. And really, when you study that passage, there's only a couple of sets of parents in that passage. You got Abraham and Sarah, and then you got the parents of Moses. So not many parents made the Hall of Fame of Faith, but these parents, Moses' parents, are mentioned in verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child or a healthy child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. And then it goes on just to give a history of Moses. You know, there are very few Bible characters. There are very, very few Bible characters where we have documented their life from infancy to death. But Moses is one of those people. There are very few Bible characters where we know about their birth, and we know a lot about what they did in their life, and then we know about their death. I mean, here we're learning about the infancy of Jesus, the infancy of Moses. And then we know that God himself buried Moses. Did you know that? I mean, God himself buried Moses. And then we know a lot about his life in between. So you gotta be impressed and understand that Moses was mightily used of God. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 11, he has more written about him than any of the people in the Hall of Fame of Faith. I mean, nobody else got that many verses. All the way from 23 to 29, they all talk about Moses. But notice where it begins. It begins with his parents. It begins with his parents. See, behind this great man of God, Moses, were some parents that God used in a mighty, mighty way. What was it about these parents? I mean, what can we learn from these parents? What can we gain from their example? How can God use us as parents to make a difference? And always remember, your first ministry is your kids. You know, this church is not my first ministry, okay? All the overweight Christians in the world are not my first ministry, okay? My first ministry is my wife. My first ministry is Crystal and Sarah and Jeremiah and my son-in-law George and my two grand dogs, Simba and Bubbles, okay? That's my first ministry, okay? That's my first ministry, okay? I mean, what was it that these parents did that made such a huge, huge difference? Let's look at it. Number one, you got to marry right. You got to marry right. Notice in verse 1, it talks about there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. This information we gain here about their parenting didn't start with parenting. It started with marriage. Because that's where great parenting begins. That's where great parenting begins. Because being a good parent starts long before becoming a parent. Being a good parent starts long before becoming a parent. You got to realize, you know, I teach that there's three, what I call C words, representing three decisions that young people have to make that are going to influence the rest of their life. And those C words are, number one, what they're going to do with Christ. Young people have to decide what they're going to do with Christ. Next week when we look at Timothy, we're going to see how that Paul lays down the gauntlet before Timothy and challenges Timothy. Timothy, you better choose Christ. You better choose Christ. He was a young man. We don't know his exact age, but he was on the younger side, okay? And he had to choose Christ. You had to decide what you can do with Christ. A second decision you got to make is you're going to have to choose what you have for a companion. Who you're going to spend the rest of your life with. Who you're going to spend the rest of your life with. That's going to impact your life. And then the last one is you got to choose your career. I mean, what you decide to do early in life, yes, we live in a culture where people change careers, and with the information society, it's not quite like it used to be where you get locked into one thing, but still, early in your life, particularly when you decide, you know, what you're going to study and things like that, I mean, it impacts you the rest of your life. You see, when I stood at that altar December 15th, 1979, I mean, I was making a commitment to marry and be committed to my wife for the rest of my life, okay? But you know what? It wasn't that long after that that there was a child that was brought into our lives, Crystal. And then it wasn't long after that, another child, Sarah, who came in the world 4 days before we had health insurance. God bless you, Sarah. Thank you for that. Appreciate that, okay? And then it wasn't long after that. I'm still bitter towards her about that. But anyway, as you can tell, pray for me. And then it wasn't long after that, Jeremiah was born, you know? And that decision I made was going to impact my parenting. Because Debbie and I, through the years, have gone through some great times as parents, and we've gone through some really tough times as parents. And we've had to make hundreds of decisions together as parents. And you know what? The journey has been a good one. It's been a good one because we agree. We have a value system in common. We have a book we look to guide our decisions. And because of that, not that there hasn't been any conflict, but honestly, there's been very little conflict because I'm married right, okay? I'm married right. And you got to understand, you know, many of you are here, you're single and you're hoping to be married, and one day perhaps you will be married. You know, and you got to understand, you know, who you choose to marry is going to have a huge impact on your parenting. And you have to make lots of decisions together. And if you go and marry somebody who doesn't share a biblical worldview, and you go marry an unbeliever, you go marry somebody that doesn't seek first the kingdom of God, you're going to have lots of problems. And you're going to have lots of difficulty. And so you got to start with number one, marry right. This couple married right. Number two, choose life. Choose life. You see, Moses was brought into a world where there was a culture of death. There was a culture of death. An edict had been given by Pharaoh because of the growing Jewish population, and he was concerned about them taking over and becoming so large that they could provide a big army that would come against him. And so he gave this order that all of the male children were to be murdered. All the male children were to be murdered. And yet the Bible says in verse 2, "And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw that he was a goodly child or a healthy child, she hid him 3 months." See, this couple understood that this child, Moses, was a reward from God. Psalm 127, verse 3. They understood that this was a life. And they understood that this life needed to be valued. That they understood that they needed to do everything they could to keep their child alive. They didn't say, "Oh, okay, well, you know, Moses, oh, we got a boy here. You know, the order's been given that all these boys, like our son Moses, this needs to be killed." No, they didn't give into that, okay? They didn't follow that. They disobeyed. Okay, Romans 13:1 tells us we are to follow governmental authority unless it goes in direct conflict with the Word of God. Okay, and they did everything they could, like parents should do, to protect their child. They hid their child as long as it was humanly possible. They hid their child. Why? Because they believed in life. And today we are in a culture of death in this country, and it's called abortion. Called abortion. And we got to realize Isaiah 44:24 says, "Thus saith the Lord the Redeemer, he that formed thee," how? "From the womb." Formed thee from the womb. Life begins at conception. Life begins in the womb. He forms us in the womb. And we got to realize this as parents, you know, there are some accidental parents, but there are no accidental children. There are no accidental children. Every single life is precious. Every single life is valued, okay? Every single one of them. And I'm telling you, I know we're all looking at Wall Street, but I'm telling you, if you think God doesn't see 1.5 million babies in this nation being slaughtered every year, okay, and we'll just stand there and do nothing, God destroyed the Egyptian, okay, because of this decision here. God sent the plagues, and the last plague was your kids are going to die, okay? It's called the Passover, okay? It's called the Passover. And we got to understand, as we celebrate this nation and our country, we got to understand, you know, and right now politically, the way, you know, we just ignore this subject, okay? Let's talk about the economy, let's talk about the wars, and I'm concerned about that stuff too, okay? But I'm telling you something, we better understand biblical morality, okay? We better understand, you know, it's not just "God bless America," it's "bless God, America," okay? It's "bless God, America." And we can't keep this slaughter industry going without having God's judgment on us, okay? Because Proverbs 24:11-12, the last part says, "Shall he not render to every man according to his works?" We need to choose life, okay? We need to choose life. We need to protect our kids, okay? And not kill our kids. Number three, we need to trust God. You know, there's nothing in my life that's done more to impact my faith than parenting. I mean, nothing has ever stretched me more in my faith than being a parent. I mean, from the very beginning, and some of the things that we were dealing with when our firstborn was brought into this world, all the way through just parenting. I mean, nothing has done more to build my faith and my trust in God than being a parent. And part of being a parent is trusting God. I mean, these parents are highlighted in Hebrews chapter 11. These parents, their faith is highlighted because they trusted God. They trusted the Lord. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 1:28 that when our children are born, we are to dedicate them back to God. I mean, I stood at the altar of this church before my church family, and I stood there. Debbie and I stood with Crystal in our arms. And we stood before our church family, and we dedicated Crystal to God. We stood before our church family with Sarah, and we dedicated Sarah to God. We stood before the church with Jeremiah in our arms, and we dedicated Jeremiah to God. It was a step of trust. It was recognizing that we had to trust the Lord. And these parents had to trust God. You know, can you imagine? There they were building this little waterproof bassinet, if you will, and just taking their little boy and putting him in that river and just sending him down that river. How many times as parents do we have those situations in our life? Where we're scared and we're afraid and we don't know what's going to happen and we don't know what's going to go on and we don't know, you know, what are they going to do when they're not around, you know? I mean, it's hard, you know? Sometimes we just have to let them go down the river, amen? It's just part of parenting. It's just part of building up our trust and recognize that. And God did a great miracle, didn't he, in that story, how that God protected Moses and how in God's sovereignty he worked all things together for good, didn't he? I mean, God sovereignly, because of their trust, God sovereignly worked in the heart of Pharaoh's daughter to have compassion on this weeping Jewish little boy. And God sovereignly allowed Moses to live, okay? And that was all a miracle of God that was based on the trusting of these parents. Their trust in God. And then lastly, educate diligently. Educate diligently. I mean, the Bible tells us how that this mother actually got paid to take care of her son. That's a pretty good, sweet deal, isn't it? Okay? And only God can do things like that. I mean, here they are. She didn't know if she would ever see the baby again. She didn't know if Moses would ever live. She didn't know if she'd ever have the privilege to know him again, that he might be dead within a matter of minutes or a matter of hours as she let go of that floating bassinet. And as that baby moved down that river, okay, she didn't know, but God worked it out so that the baby could live. And she had the privilege to educate her child. And Moses received the greatest, what I would call, secular education. And secular education is important. Our kids need to know how to write, and they need to know how to read, and they need to know how to do math, and all those kinds of things. And Moses received the greatest education that was available to people of that day. But the greatest education he received was from his mother and from his dad. Because the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. See, all education has to be based on God, okay? And that's where, you know, learning math is founded on God. Learning history is founded on God. Learning science, founded on God. The beginning of all knowledge, the Bible says, is the fear of the Lord. And this mother poured herself into this child. This dad poured himself into this child so that later on Moses, when he was older and had to make a decision for himself, he chose the way of God. Okay. He made a decision that he would identify himself with the people of God. Why? Because of the education that he received. So much more we could say today about these parents. But just take a moment and reflect on these. Number one, will you marry right? Man, if you're single, hoping to be married, I beg you. I'm telling you, I've pastored hundreds and hundreds of people in my life. I'm telling you, some of the most serious battles and toughest things I've ever dealt with were parents that didn't have the same value system. It's tough. You need to think about, when you stand at that altar, more than likely one day there's going to be a child or children to raise together. And good parenting begins with marrying right. Number two, choose life. Man, understand that your children are a reward from God. You might not feel that way right now. Maybe it feels like if this is a reward, I didn't see what a curse is. But anyway, I mean, you know, parenting's hard sometimes, okay? But it's the greatest blessing of life, okay? And then trust God right now. I don't know what's going on in your parenting right now. You know, I don't know, okay? But I'm telling you, right now you might be in a season where your faith is being challenged. You're just going to have to trust the Lord. And then lastly, educate diligently. Pour your life into those children. Educate, train them. Train them. Pour your life into them. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word today. Thank you so much for this incredible set of parents, Lord. God, thank you for the way you used them to raise up Moses, to raise up Aaron, to raise up Miriam. God, thank you for the way you used them to impact this world. And God, thank you for the privilege we have, we that are parents here today. And with every head bowed and every eye closed today, if you are a parent, would you just ask God to use you in a mighty way? Would you just ask God to look on this earth and see you and see your heart and just ask God to use you in a mighty way as a parent for him? And if there's never been a time in your life when you accepted Jesus, I want to challenge you to do that today. Make that decision to ask him into your life. Father, we love you and thank you for your word today. God, thank you for the truth of it. Lord, may you use this message to strengthen our homes. In Jesus' name, amen.